Blog Talk Radio.
Life after dust. If you living like we living, then you get it how we get it. Life after dust. If you living like we living, then you get it how we get it. Shout out to Sanjay. Dog, we gonna make a way. Now sit back and listen to these bars I'm about to say. Hit the button, young, and get loose on that beat. We get it in the booth like we get it in the street. Yup, good night, hit him up like good morning, good evening. Best believe I tell you a story, you better believe it. If the world was in our palms, we break it in pieces. We a different kind of animal, take it or leave it. Heart frozen, cold blooded, we belong in a freezer. We hotter than the Bahamas on the beach with a heater. Yeah, call me Mr. Popular, can't see me with binoculars. Shout out to the haters and everybody who knocking us. Steady J got interviews, intermission and interludes. The baddest model chicks and the real rap spitting dudes. R&B and gospel and all of the above. And it's all on one show and it fits like a glove on the life after dust, life after dust. If you living like we living, then you get it how we get it. Life after dust. If you living like we living, then you get it how we get it. Steady J, what's good, my dude? You keep doing what you're doing, fam. Keep showing love to all us unsigned artists, man. Good things gonna come back to you, homie. I salute you, B. Life after dust. Y'all now tuned in. Holla.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to Life After Dust Live. This is your boy, Steady J. And, man, definitely great. Doing the early morning edition of Life After Dust Live, and it's pretty crazy, you know. Usually on the other side of the day in the nighttime, but it's kind of a little interesting doing the morning show, you know. Do like the big dogs in the morning, so it is pretty fun. But anyways, I want to thank you all for tuning into the show, and got a very hot show for y'all today. So as far as the drink going out for today, this is yet another episode for our special Dust Divine Model Month. This is the second annual. And, you know, the other day we had Todd Campbell in here, and that was just, wow, that was crazy. Very, very legendary photographer, just on top of his stuff. And it was just great to take in some of his energy and his thought process. So big ups to that. But today, we got two beautiful young ladies to be on the show today, and actually, they're both related, by the way, too. And that is Miss Nikki Barber and Miss Lisa Barber, which, of course, both of them are twins. And if you didn't know, they are track and field participants, and not just participants, they're champions in what they do between the Olympics, between the world championships, between there's different relays, such as ten relays, all that kind of stuff, and the Pan American Games. They're just two young ladies. They excel at everything they do. And, you know, I hope to see them this 2012. Matter of fact, I won't even say a hope. I have a strong faith that they will be there. So big ups to them. We're going to go ahead and check the phone lines. I think that's one of them right there. All right, let's see. Carly, you're on Life After Dust Live with your boy, Steady J. What's up?
Hey, Steady. This is Mickey.
What's up?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, you know. I ate my weeds this morning, so I'm ready to go.
Me too. I'm over here in L.A.
Yes. So it's actually earlier over there when you are. It's 7:30 where you are. Well, a little after 7:30 where you're at.
Yep, 7:33.
Yes. Yes, but, you know, I'm glad to have you on here. Just glad to dig you up, man. Y'all doing some very great things, and definitely glad to be a part of the support group for that.
Thank you so much for having me. It's my first world championship team I made in 100 meters, so I'm just happy and I'm out here training hard.
Most definitely. And, I mean, I tell people, like, a lot of times I'm a person, you know, I try not to use hope. I try to use hope too much because when you say hope, it means that you have a small sense of doubt. And I like to say, you know, I pretty much don't have faith behind it and say that I think I'll see you and get much further within the next year or so. So I have a lot of faith in that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Me too. This year has been a great year so far. I train with the legendary Maurice Green. He's my coach now, and we've been working so hard. And I ran a personal best at 10:96. It was wind-aided, and I got top three. I got third at the U.S. Championships. So I know there's more to come. We've been doing a lot of changes in my race and perfecting my start and getting it way better. So by London 2012 and in Daegu this year, Korea, I know we have so much more in store and so much more to come and so much more improvements to make.
Yes, and I actually watched the race when you were in Sydney. You actually came in second place.
You were pretty close.
You were pretty close.
You mean in Brazil? In Brazil?
Yes, Brazil. There you go.
At the 2007 Pan American Games. Well, actually, I won that. You probably saw the semifinals, but I won the 2007 Pan American Games and broke the record there. So I think that's what you're talking about.
Oh, no. More. It's actually more recent. I saw some footage of a more recent race you did, and you were pretty. I gotta go catch my mind back up to it.
Sydney, I'm just talking about the Sydney Classic, the Grand Prix race back in March, and
yes.
Sally Pearson won.
Yeah, you were pretty. I was like, dang, she was like, right, was right there on it. You started gaining on. I was like, oh man.
and that's when that's what we were working on my start. Like, I haven't really been able to get out the blocks really well. And that was way back in March. And, it was a good race. You know, she's a fast competitor. She's a hurdler from Australia. Her name is Sally Pearson. And we had a big rivalry down there, and she got the victory. But that just made me go back and work harder and train harder. And that's how she's my motivation to making that world championship team. So I knew what I had to do. It was early in the year, so I just went back and trained harder, and just made that world championship team. But, yeah, that was my first race of the year, and it was really early in the year.
That's good. That's good to know. You know, a lot of people, you know, so as soon as they don't come in first, they feel like, oh, my God, the world's coming to an end, and all like that, and instead of pushing harder. And it's good to hear that kind of stuff from somebody.
Yeah, trust me, I was mad, though, like, you know, because I didn't know what to expect when I went down there. You know, I know she's a very great competitor. I know she's really fast, and she's one of Australia's best. But when it was a big eye-opener because I was like, God, I had to work so much harder. You know, I have to do, you know, she's a hurdler, and I'm a sprinter. So everyone was like, Mickey, get ready for Sally when you go down there because she's going to be ready. She's going to be on point. And she was, so that just was like, wow, you know, I got to get back on my numbers, do my numbers down here. So I did it, and that makes me push harder. I don't really give up. It just makes me work harder if I don't win. If I don't, you know, get the victory, I go back. I know what I have to do, what I have to change, and that's what – my main goal this year was to make the world championship team, and that's what happened.
Well, definitely. I'm glad to see that happen, too. All right, so my next question for you is, you know, of course, back in 2000, you actually went to the Olympics. Like, how was that experience of going to the Olympics then?
I was on the 4x4 relay team. I was 19 years old. I was a sophomore in college, and I was an NCAA champion at that time. in the 400 meters. That was one of my best experiences ever. You know, I was young. I was a new young girl on the scene, and I just had a great time. I didn't get a chance to run the relay. They didn't choose me to run on that relay, but I was there. I was a team player. I was always ready to run if they needed me. And it just let me know the political side of track and field. And, you know, it just opened my eyes to seeing the world. Sydney is a great place to be. It was just beautiful. Everything there was, I just had a great time. I really couldn't complain. And I met so many good people. I got a chance to meet Serena and Venus, all the basketball players, all the boxers, the soccer players, Brandi Chastain, my favorite basketball player, Kevin Garnett. It was just a great experience. If I would have ran, you know, that would have been even better. But I was young then. I knew it opened my eyes to a lot more things. It made me a better person and let me, I had to experience a lot of positives and negatives there, that everything doesn't happen your way. And I went back to back home with a different perspective on track and field. And I had a great time. I really enjoyed myself. And when I went back there this year, 11 years later, I was like, man, I have to go back to Sydney. I have to find my way back. And it happened, you know, 11 years later. And I had, that's my favorite place to be, Australia. I was in Melbourne, Australia, Sydney, Australia. The fashion is, and the food is so good. So, yeah, the Olympics, that was one of the highlights of my life and my career.
All right, most definitely, most definitely. Okay, so what we're going to do, we're going to go to a quick song break, and then we'll be back and talk to chop it up some more with you.
Okay.
All right, so this is my boy's PNC. This track is called So Attracted, and we'll be right back with my girl Mickey Barber right here on Life at the Dust Live.
What's your name, girl? I'm so attracted to you. If I could only have you in my world, there is so much I would do.
I'm so attracted to you. up, everybody? This is G-Man.
And Shot Baby.
And whenever I'm not listening to the Bon Vivant mixtape,
I'm listening to Life After Dusk live on Blog Talk Radio in the Dusk Spot.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to Life After Dusk Live with your boy, Teddy J. And that was TNC So Attracted. And we are on the show with my girl, Mickey Barber, today. And welcome
hey.
Back, Mickey.
What's going on?
Ooh, man, that song you have me. That song is one of those songs that gets you amped for the day. I'm like, okay. If I wasn't amped
yeah, I like
already,
that.
I'm amped now.
I like that. I like
oh,
that song.
Oh, man. But most definitely. And, you know, big up to your sister. I know she got some stuff going on right now that she had to handle up. So big ups to her. I know she's
yeah,
holding
she's
down.
In Atlanta.
She's holding down. Yes, she is. ATL. Actually,
yeah.
You know, there's so many times people ask me, there's a lot of people that's in ATL that keep asking me, you need to come visit. Crazy. I need to. I agree. I do need to. It's just I need to figure out when I am.
Yeah, I love Atlanta. I moved out here to Los Angeles 2 years ago, but I was there in Atlanta first, and I love it. You need to go to Atlanta. You need to go check out all the good food, the good nightlife. It's a great place to be. I miss it when I go back there in October. So we always have a good time. Everyone I go there and visit is like, man, I love Atlanta. So I'm pretty sure when you do go, you're going to have fun. Somebody's going to show you around, show you all the hot spots. Maybe we can show you around all the hot spots. But I know you love it when you do go. Yeah. It is fun. You can do a whole lot in a weekend.
And crazy is, too, y'all actually are from my home state. I'm in Texas
Jersey.
Now, but I am from my home state. Y'all from Jersey.
Yeah. Montclair, New Jersey.
I'm actually from Trenton.
Okay. A little way down, but yeah. That's where I'm born and raised, New Jersey, Montclair. I love it. I'm going back there also in the off season and just to visit my family, my friends. The one thing about track, you know, you really don't, if you don't live at home with your family or in the same state, you don't really get to see your family and friends a lot. So every time I do go home, I make sure I try to get as much time as possible with my family and friends because we're on the road a lot. We travel a lot. We train hard all the time, so you don't really get to spend too much family time. That's the one thing I do miss, is spending time with my family and seeing my friends and, my parents, I don't see them a lot either. So I do miss that, and I just know spending time with my family is a must. And, you know, that's what I do cherish is family time. So when I go home, we just have fun. We kick it. We talk. We have cookouts. Just spending time together. So I'm always in Europe in the summertime. So we're on a plane. We're running. We're traveling. We're going here. We're going there every week. So when I get to take time off in the off season, that's from about the end of September to November, the middle of November. Yeah, we get it in. I go do what I want to do for that whole month and a half, 2 months.
Right. A lot of people don't realize it. A lot of people just think some people are oblivious and thinking that track and field is just every 4 years. It's not every. It's much bigger than that. It's actually a huge career if you take it real seriously.
It is. That's what people, they don't realize that. You're right. You know, everyone's like, so well, how do you train every 4 years? Like, no, we train every day. It's not every 4 years. We have every year we train. Every year is a big year for us. There are off years. Like, last year was considered an off year because there was no major championships. But every other year is the world championships. Every 4 years is the Olympics. And then you have your one off year in the middle, which was like last year. But we train every year. We train hard every day. Every year there's a meet. There are meets in Europe. So it's the way we make our money. It's our career. It's our livelihood. So it's just like every other sport. It's not just a game. It's not just a race. It's, you know, it's putting money in our pockets, food on our table. We're putting a lot of pressure on ourselves, a lot of pounding on our body. It takes a toll on you. It's great training. It's great. It's fun and all, but, you know, at the same time, it's our career. So when you don't win those races and when you don't do well, when you do get injured, it is a major blow. So we do take it very serious. It's not just a game to us. It's not just a race. You know, a lot of people it's hard to kind of stick around the game because people don't know about track and field. So they don't know that you can make money. They don't know that it's serious. They don't know that, you know, you are traveling all the time. They don't know that you have a schedule. You have to be very serious about what you do. And overseas, we're some people, you know, are like celebrities. They do know you. They will stand outside your hotel and, you know, ask for your autographs. And stadiums are packed with thousands of people, like football stadiums over here. It's just not as popular over here. But, you know, a lot of people, they just don't know. We don't get them as much TV coverage. We don't have the big stars like other sports do. And other people, they do want to know, like, when do y'all run? You know, when does it come on? I never see it. It comes on at, like, 2 o'clock in the morning on some channel, and I just happen to turn on track and field. So, you know, the marketing, and it's a little different for our sport. But we do take it serious, and it is a big sport worldwide. So hopefully, you know, the U.S. will catch on and we'll get more sponsors and more money, and we will be able to do it for a long time. It's a lot of times, a lot of people are kind of struggling sometimes, like, you know, because the money's not really there. In some cases, it is. Some people make millions of dollars running. And then there's people that just do what they love and really don't make that much at all. But I've been on both ends, you know. I've been able to make a decent living, and I've been blessed to have fun and still do what I do 10 years later.
No, definitely. And, you know, a lot, that's like I said, it's a lot of people just don't realize that it's a lot of work that goes behind it. And also, I was going to say, too, yeah, as far as here, like, every year I'm talking like the Texas Relays, and that's always.
Yeah. They're huge.
It's crazy. Austin,
the funny thing is, I've never been to Texas Relays.
Austin.
I know. I've
never been
there.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm telling you.
I know, that's sad.
Crazy. Oh, man. I was like, I got to ask her if she's been to Texas Relays. That's actually crazy. You have not been.
No, I always go to 10 Relays. But Texas Relays, I've never been to Texas Relays. In college, Texas, I went to University of South Carolina. Texas was our big rival, so our coach, they didn't want us to meet up at that time at Texas Relays. So we just didn't go. Well, I don't even know why we didn't go. We just didn't go. But and then I, professionally, I just never went there. And trust me, I'm going next year. I got to go. I've been wanting to go for the past 10 years, and I've never went. So this next year I'm going.
Because everybody that goes to the Penn and they come to Texas, they say it's a whole, they're like, man, Texas is like, the Texas Relay is like, it's like Mardi Gras. It's almost like Mardi Gras, almost. And you can't even move around Austin. Like, the main parts of Austin, you really can't move around.
I know. I'm going. I'm checking it out. I know all the celebrities go there. I know all the hottest parties are there. I know I'm going. And at Penn Relays this year, we threw our first party, our after party at Penn Relays, and it was crazy. So, and every year in Philly next year in 2012, we're going to have the hottest party again at Penn Relays. But that was our first time throwing it. We're going to make it an annual thing and do it big every year at Penn Relays. So maybe we'll bring it down to Texas, too.
Oh, yeah, because of course, you know, I be DJing some of the big parties here, too, from Texas Relay, so definitely with the link up on that one.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be a plan.
All right, so another big thing, because it is just the Vibe Model Month, you know, I also want to touch on the fact that, you know, you have a very great sense of fashion taste, and, of course, everyone goes and looks. You know, it looks at a lot of your pictures and whatnot. You do a lot of different styles, and that's even, we can even take that separately apart from even when you're doing the pictures where you have like track uniforms on or whatnot. You definitely have like your own kind of style. Like, explain as far as what Mickey's doing outside of track, how she prepares her mind to get dressed up and, you know, just kill the fashion game.
Oh, well, thank you, you know, for adding me in the little model month. Thank you. I'm so honored, you know. Well, I've always been me. I'm not like a real trendy person, but I just like to look fly, basically. Anything, it just depends because, you know, I do have an athletic body, so I like to wear what flatters my body the most, you know. I am athletic. I am built. And I just know what looks good on me. So a lot of people, they just, you know, try to do what everyone else is doing. And sometimes it doesn't really look right. So I've always loved fashion. I've always loved hair and makeup. I always like to look nice. You know, I feel like if you don't look good, you won't do good. You know, and when you look good, you do good. I've always loved that motto, and I've always stuck to it. You know, and you know, young girls and older women, they always notice, like, oh wow, you guys always look nice on the track. You guys always do your hair, or whatever, your makeup. And FloJo was my inspiration because she always looked good. You know, she always, when she went on the track, she was a showstopper. She was beautiful. She was fly and she was fast, and you know, people looked up to her. So she was my role model. And when I go out, you know, I like to look nice. You know, I'm a woman. I love being a woman. I love the clothes that flatter me, that look nice. You know, putting on some heels, doing your makeup, doing your hair. So I don't have one particular style. I can be sporty one day, and you know, I could be sexy the other day. I could throw on a business suit. So I have all different styles, and I just do me. I don't really follow what people do. You know, certain people, they have great sense of style. I love the way Beyonce dresses, Rihanna. They're all different, but they stay in their lane and they do what they want to do. So that's what I go off. I'm just comfortable with myself, and I don't have to spend, you know, $1,000 on some shoes. And I mean, even though I would, they're nice, but you know, you don't have to break the bank to look nice. You know, you have to do what flatters your body. And if you put on what looks good on you, then it'll show up and people are just like, oh wow, you look nice, you know. So just, I think to people, you know, just do what you want to do and make sure it looks good on you. Because sometimes everybody's style is not your style. And then you're just going to look good regardless if you own what you wear. When you own it, you don't have a choice but to look good. And that's what I do. When I put on my clothes, I own it. No matter what it looks like, I'm going to make sure it looks good.
No, definitely. A lot of people don't realize. I talk about that all the time. Like, we actually had a discussion about 2 weeks ago at a clothing company over here. We had a really big discussion. We were talking about, do the clothes make the man? A lot of people think, oh, if I put on some real expensive stuff, man, I'm gonna get some play, man. And I've been telling people all the time, like, always going for the real expensive stuff is not always gonna get you play. It's about how your swag is at the end of the day.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. You know, it is nice, you know, to have nice clothes and to be fly and to have expensive clothes. It is nice, but you don't have to always do that, because sometimes I see people with all this expensive stuff and they still don't even wear it right. It's not, they don't even know how to throw it on right. And then I see, you know, someone just dressed, you know, it looks nice, but you know they didn't break the bank. Or you might think they broke the bank, and they really didn't, because they own what they wear. They love it. You know, they know how to wear it. That's what it is. It's all about you and how you wear it. It's not about the clothes. It's about you. And that's what I believe, and that's what I do. And most people, you know, they agree with me, and they like my sense of fashion. So I'm flattered.
You know, definitely, most definitely. And all right, so let's ask you a couple of crazy questions of the day. So I'm going to ask three. Question one, which goes, like, what's like the craziest line a dude has ever used? As far as when he came up to you, what's the craziest line he's used on you?
The craziest line. I wouldn't say the craziest line, but I would say some of the craziest things people do to try to get at me, or, you know, sometimes they'll start, like, reading the Bible and stuff. Like, it's kind of weird to me. I don't like that. Like, I don't know. I've heard people, I mean, guys have done that before. You know, they try to talk
come
to
on,
me.
Come on. He tried to read the Bible to get your attention?
Well, okay, not to get my attention, but it's to make themselves look better. Like, they'll start, you know, so, you know, real men need to treat you like this. Then they'll just, like, he pulled out a Bible and started reading me Bible scriptures. Like, let's not do that right now. Yeah. So, I don't like when people do that.
That gives out to me, that's going to be, you know, those type of people, I mean, I love God all day long, but some people, oh, man, they turn to you. Super Christians is like, there's no way. Like, to me, it comes off as being fake and all that, but okay.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, he was fake. Yeah. So that's just kind of weird. That's happened a couple of times, so I don't really like that.
All right. Okay, question number two is, what's the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you?
Oh, the most embarrassing thing? You know, I don't really get embarrassed like that. Like, I've tripped. I've fallen before in front of people. You know, I get embarrassed like 2 seconds and I get over it. But I guess the most embarrassing thing I would say I was at NCAA championship. It was a while ago, and I was doing some runouts, and I tripped and fell while I was running and rolled for like 20 meters. Like, I was like an uncontrollable roll where I couldn't stop, and I just kept seeing the trees and the track every time I rolled for like 20 meters, and everybody was around. So yeah, that was kind of embarrassing, but then it turned out to be funny. So I guess that would be my most embarrassing moment.
That's good. See, because I laugh at myself. I do a lot of stupid stuff myself. So yeah, you gotta laugh, because if you don't laugh, oh man, you're so way worse. You're gonna laugh at it. Okay. All right. The last one is, what's the one thing that a lot of people don't know about you the most?
The one thing that people don't know about that I like to cook. Like, I'm kind of like a handy woman. You know, I love to cook. I cook all the time. I love to paint, to decorate. I like to do things like that, like myself. I painted my whole house one time. I'm like a handy woman. I would say that. I'm a good cook and a handy woman. So that I would say that.
I did. Watch out. You probably some, you know, those fellas listen to this show, they're going to be like, oh, she do what?
Yeah. I'll be the one getting dirty with, you know, getting my hands dirty all the time. I'm that type of girl. I'm not just I don't have to be all prissy and, you know, like, I will get my hands dirty. I will get dirty, and I will help you out. So yeah, most people don't think that until they know me. Like, oh, you can cook? Like, yeah, I cook. Oh, you do that? Yeah, I do that. So yeah, people always are surprised when they find that out about me.
Yeah, some people can't even cook any rice.
Yeah. Sometimes rice can be kind of hard to cook, though. I know a lot of people that can burn some rice.
Oh, man, I'm like, y'all wild now. Okay, well, we're going to come to a close, and I just want to thank you for coming through the show, first off. And, you know, it's just watching some big highlights in your career. You know, this big up to you, and I just hope a lot of great things come out of it. And, you know, if we are running to each other, we definitely got to do it big.
We do, and thank you so much for supporting me. Thank you for having me on your show. I really appreciate it. And look out for me in Daegu, Korea this August. And you can visit my website, www.thebarbatwins.com. You can follow me on Twitter. Nikki Mango is my Twitter name. And my Facebook name is Nikki Barber, MIKIMANGO and MIKIBarber. Thank you so much, Teddy J. And we will have to get up, because I'm coming to Texas Relays next year, and we're going to throw the hottest party in Texas.
Oh, yeah, we're going to do it big. Let's make sure that happens. All right.
Thank you.
As we get ready to come to a close, everyone, y'all know how we do it every day on every show. And even when the shows are on, just remember this. Well, there's a J, or well, there's a Nikki, or well, there's a you. Through God, there is a way. Y'all tune to another episode of Life After Dusk Live. And if you missed any parts of the show, check it out on iTunes. Just type in Life After Dusk Live. You'll find the show and look for the one that says Nikki Barber. And
hey, there
you go. Or y'all can go to blogtalkradio.com/SettingJ. So there you go. All right. In the words of Chris Brown, deuces.